Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi here on ShrobHomeVideo.com. This is a Real Life Sci-Fi. I already said that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should say this. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And I'm Aaron.
This is a paranormal kind of podcast where we talk about sci-fi-ish type stuff. We've got a Patreon at patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You get 2 bonus episodes a week. We also stream on Twitch. Real Life Sci-Fi, how's it go?
Twitch.tv/Real Life Sci-Fi. Tuesdays, 3 o'clock, that's Aaron afternoon. Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, that's Real Life Research, where we do research, and we played like a fun movie game last time, actually.
Oh,
that was game.
God,
was a lot
so
of fun.
Fun. I've been playing it ever since. I took I took $4 off my friends.
great.
Shout out to DBE, who edited their pledge to be a friend of Charquan.
Oh, yeah. Thank you,
cheers.
DBE.
Oh, nice assist, Willie. I didn't know. I had no idea. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's clinical psychologist Dr. Thomas Olona.
Woohoo!
What's up?
Hello.
Hi.
This is fresh territory for us. We very rarely have anyone of stature on this podcast. It's usually just moron comedians. And you're an actual doctor.
Yes, PhD, not MD.
Oh, well.
Isn't that one better?
I couldn't tell you that.
Do the PhD guys and the MDs like have rumbles?
It's like the Navy and the Air Force or something. Yeah. Like Marines versus Army.
Not as interesting.
Throw a punch at me.
I'm an MD. I could take a punch. Throw another punch beat.
But I already forgot. What did I say? Clinical what?
Psychologist.
Okay, my first question is,
yes,
what's the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist?
That's where the PhD and the MD happen.
Oh.
Psychiatrist is a medical doctor who then goes to do his residency and training postdoctoral in psychiatry. So they get their MD and they get specialized training in psychiatry afterwards.
Can you prescribe us drugs?
No.
Damn.
No, I cannot.
Well, that's going to do it for Real Life Sci-Fi.
I'm sorry, you guys. Like, this is my fault.
That's funny.
I really wanted Adderall. How into conspiracy theories and paranormal stuff are you?
Not.
Not at all?
Not much.
Your brain is... Are you like a left brain kind of guy?
No, I just have never paid attention to it.
Okay, well, then we're still calling it the wow scale for this episode.
Yeah, sure.
Wow scale is going to go quick, I think. We do something here called the wow scale. It stands for Waiter Willie.
Wow scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Or are you an Aaron?
Yeah. We'll add that in one day.
We're in a flux. period of flux. Okay, first, are you ready to... I need to explain. It's 5-question quiz.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I will grade you anywhere between 0 and 5. If your grade is a 5, you're more of a believer. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a skeptic.
Okay.
And I'm the skeptic, Willie's the believer, and then Aaron's kind of in the middle.
We'll see.
Are you ready to be weighed on the wow scale?
Let's go.
All right. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
So I don't know what I don't know. So sure. It's possible.
To all of it?
All of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Twist. What do you think an alien is? Like, if an alien exists, what do you think? Do you think it's humanoid?
Something that's not human. Something not from Earth.
You think it's like a mushroom? Do you think it has sentient thought?
Once again, I don't know what I don't know, so sure. It could.
What do I do next? Ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts?
I've never met one.
You never had any scary ghost happenings?
Well, I do have one story.
Go on.
So as a clinical psychologist, one of the things that is important to me is doing my own personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have my stuff together to help people with their stuff. And so there's a men's organization that I've been part of for 20 years. And we would meet in a group on a weekly basis. And about 10 years ago, one of my patients killed himself. Mm. And it was really hard on me. And I was with these guys in our group. And I was kind of talking about things. And all of a sudden, the room got really cold. And really windy. And I looked at the two or three guys in my immediate circle and I said, oh my gosh, I feel like he's here. And they looked at me like they felt something as well. And I said to the energy, whatever it was, I did everything I could to help you when you were here, but you're gone now. I can't help you anymore. Go away. And the wind started going again and the cold disappeared.
Oh.
Crazy.
That's spooky.
And it wasn't just me. It was like there was three of us in the smaller circle surrounded by like six or seven guys on the outer circle. The guys in the outer circle didn't see anything. The three of us in the inner circle did.
Whoa, really?
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Is this in LA?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I live in Glendale.
Where are you from originally?
Los Angeles.
Oh, you are?
Born and raised.
Okay.
Oh, the rare breed.
You never got out. What about Bigfoot?
No.
No?
No.
None of the videos convinced you?
No. No. No.
Psychics?
Psychics. So that means someone who thinks about something that's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, I think like you could say mind reader, you could say like telekinesis.
I think there are senses that humans possess that are beyond our five senses and that some people have them more developed than others. So I think people can sense other things sometimes.
Do you think that's just like an in-tuned like empathy or do you think it's actually sort of like a sixth sense?
I think there's something more than the five senses. That's just my thoughts on it.
Okay. Are you superstitious?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
All right. What did he say? Yes?
Yes.
What was the ghost answer? Was it no?
He said you hadn't met one, but you had an experience. So is that a yes or a no?
Sure.
Sure? Okay. I think it's a light yes. And then no one a Bigfoot.
You're like a
yes,
three.
Yes, on psychics.
Right?
No. Yeah, you're a three.
You're a three. So you're right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
That makes sense for me.
That's hard. That's hard to do, I feel like. It's hard for people to get
in the
middle.
We don't really have a lot of threes, I don't think.
No. It was like my sister was the last one.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the mysterious brain. Conscious, subconscious, id, ego, superego. Is our brain so smart that it can believe anything is possible? Or is anything possible? ESP, psychokinesis, mind over matter, or belief over mind? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Some of that stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
That was good. I like that.
Interesting choice of music.
We got Judge Wapner to remix that for us. So what is the actual talk? I mean, we're just talking about brains?
Yeah, I think mixing in the idea of real versus paranormal brain. You know, like some ideas we have of what is possible with brains.
Is it like the mind over matter stuff? Like the, like psi research stuff, or are we talking? Because I feel like there's just so many things we can talk about. It's hard to put.
I figured it would be loosely, generally, anything in that realm.
Okay.
Well, start us off, man. Where do you want to take it?
So you are a clinical psychologist,
correct?
And Have you, I mean, you know, I think starting by asking questions, I think is a way to get into
it. Oh yeah. Interviewing with questions. That's probably right. The best Shoot. Way to interview.
Well, is it normally an interview? Have you seen anything paranormal in that realm of like seeing somebody's mind work?
I have done a lot of work with the Catholic Church over the years. Okay. And one of the roles that I had was as a consultant in the matters of exorcisms.
Shut okay? up. Really?
Yes.
Are you religious?
Spiritual, not as religious.
Okay. So you're okay? not a Catholic.
I was born and raised Catholic.
But you got rid of it? You went to college.
I haven't been to church in a while.
Okay.
But so if there was a case that was presented for an exorcism, they'd want the person to be interviewed by a clinical psychologist just to get that checked out first to see if it was an issue of some sort of mental illness as opposed to some sort of extraterrestrial
sure.
issue.
Right.
And I worked on three cases. And all three of them were very easily explained from a mental health perspective.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then the church is like, damn it.
Probably.
Can't Probably. Charge for this one.
Put Jimbo back into his room. The exorcist.
So there's a lot of this stuff that is presented by people who talk about possessions, et cetera. If they had a pretty thorough psychiatric evaluation, that would be probably readily explained.
What would it have to be for you to not? What would they have to do, these people who are supposedly possessed? What would they have to do for you to be like, well, this is not mental illness?
So usually when someone is what we call dissociating, they used to call it multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they call it dissociative identity disorder, DID for short. It's when people kind of split off and a certain part of them, their what we call the conscious mind, takes a little vacation and another part of them will fill in and act. Usually those kind of things happen when someone's experienced a lot of trauma in their life. Usually in childhood, they go through a lot of horrific experiences. And one of the things they learn to do is to kind of shut down and close off. And to protect themselves, another part of them will come out and deal with what happened to them, and so they can preserve their self. And they learn how to do this as a coping mechanism. So usually we can see a lot of trauma that has happened to these people in these situations.
What's the it's basis, pretty common. What's the basis of these other... They don't call them other personalities, or do they?
Sub-personalities.
Yeah. So it's just like a more aggressive version of me or something like that?
So I would imagine that each one of you, myself included, has had moments where we're acting in ways that seem outside of our normal self. Like in certain situations, a certain part of me shows up. In other certain situations, other parts of me show up. And so what happens in these situations is that these other parts may be acting, but I'm very aware that those are happening, right? So I know I'm acting kind of wacky.
Yeah.
In DID or, you know, in multiple personality disorder, the old name, the person disappears and doesn't know what's happening.
Where do they go? Do they know, or are they just out? Is it just like lost time?
They lose time.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's usually pretty severe trauma in childhood that creates that as a coping mechanism.
Do you watch a lot of media about like there's a United States of Terra? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen the commercials. I've never watched it. Oh. Sorry.
What about Legion? Have you seen Legion?
No. Not either that one, sorry.
I just wonder if they're
how accurate or
if they're just like super, super like cartoony.
Oh yeah.
Well, I've had patients who have this condition, and it's funny because this one that I still see, he refers to himself as we, because there's different parts that show up that he kind of forgets, and then he might remember like a few days later that it happened.
Oh, wow.
In that situation where they learn to cope with things using that and disassociating, does that continue when trauma isn't happening, or does it like that? It kind of just keeps going.
So the best way to explain that is to kind of talk about the conscious mind versus the unconscious mind, kind of what we're going to talk about to begin with. So imagine the conscious mind as the part of me that is me, I, right? And then the unconscious mind would be the part we call the self. So like I can't get myself to do this. I wish I could get myself to go to the gym. I could get myself to eat better. There's this other part of me that has its own agenda that I can't get under control, right? So that's the self. And we call that the unconscious mind, right? And so that part is programmed by what happened to us growing up. And at certain events in our life, those things get stuck. Certain events happen, and you know, maybe you stole some money from your mom and you get caught. And then she screams at you and yells at you, and you go into this little thing of terror. Well, your brain remembers that. And anytime you, in the future, when you think about stealing, that kind of terror goes through your body. That's the unconscious mind reminding you, don't do that.
I accidentally downloaded the McDonald's app, and I can't stop getting McDonald's. Can you tell me how to please stop doing that?
Just delete your app.
There's so many good deals, though.
You need to get a king to deprogram you with his own a different burger.
Yeah, download the Burger King app. You'll stop getting McDonald's.
So I want to ask you, you grew up religious. You are spiritual. Do you believe in the soul?
So I believe in energy. And I know there's something that I am that when I'm gone, it's not there anymore. And there's some sort of energy that I have. I'm not so sure that energy is sentient, but I know it. Once it leaves me, it's going someplace else.
Oh, that's a great answer. Because my next question is, how much of the brain do you think is responsible for your individual? Going deeper, like, because I feel like if you are yourself with, can you be yourself without your brain? I mean, you kind of said that with the energy and I mean, you don't know, but like, have you seen people experience perception without their brain? Like people that have passed on for a second and come back? Or?
So this is what I know. No one who's been dead for more than a month has ever come back and explained it. That I know for a fact. Maybe there's been people who've been dead for an hour or two, maybe, but for a month, not so much. So I don't know what's beyond that. And from far as I understand, once this thing turns off, there's no coming back. Once that energy leaves this system, it's gone someplace else, and it's not coming back to this. And I'm not so sure, I have no idea, whether any of the experience or the meaning or personality of this body attaches itself to that energy. I don't know.
Yeah.
What is that movie where when you die, you lose like 7 grams or something? You guys know what I'm talking about? 21 grams? Is that what it is?
No, that's a different thing.
Are you talking about, flatliners?
No. Flatliners is amazing.
It was a documentary or something. I've seen something like they lost seven ounces.
It's like a thing, and they think that's the weight of the soul or whatever.
Yeah,
it's 21 grams.
I don't think that's it. Producer Sevan, not on mic, off camera, yelling things at us. Par usual. My question is, where does your personality come from? Is it your part of your conscious mind, your subconscious mind? Is it something you're born with, or is it something that is like nurture versus nature?
And so I think the answer to all of that is yes.
Okay.
So anyone who's had kids, and you have kids, right?
I have one. He's about to turn 5.
5, okay. Anyone who has had multiple kids would know this for sure. They come out with different temperaments. Every human born has a certain energy. Like there's a baby that cries a lot. There's a baby that just is so perfect and doesn't cause any problems to the parents. Every child has a temperament. And then you get that child and you put it in a system, And that system is either something that's going to bring out its best or it's going to not do that. So let's say you have a kid who's got a whole lot of energy and maybe he even has ADD, right? And he's always bouncing around and can't focus. And you put him in a very conservative, strict family. That kid's going to have a miserable life. He's always going to be in trouble, right? But you get that same kid and you put him in a home like with someone like you, right? I can just tell by how you dress. There's a lot more freedom in your life.
We get in trouble together.
Right, exactly. And so you're not going to be as hard on that kid as maybe someone who's much more rigid. So his self-esteem is going to develop in a better way in your home because he's going to feel more accepted. Okay, so it's a combination of both.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because like when I look at people or talk to people that have had multiple kids, it's like as soon as they have the second one, they're like, oh, I have nothing to do with the first one. It's just like that's just their behavior and doesn't matter if they get in trouble. Yeah, our kid's pretty crazy in a fun way. We call him a beautiful monster. I forget. It was something more funny. What do you think about subconscious mind, conscious mind? Brain waves. Have you like?
So let's clear some things up in terms of language first. So we're talking about conscious mind and unconscious mind, and there's a third thing called subconscious. Okay. So the way I think about it is the conscious mind is the part of me that's focused here now, paying attention. Then there's the unconscious mind, which is a part of me that is outside of my awareness. If things are going along. In the background, the unconscious mind controls most of what's happening, right? It feeds what's happening to my conscious mind. So every thought that I have, unconscious mind had it before the conscious self had it, it was fed to me. This thing called subconscious is kind of the middle ground where you kind of know it, but you're not exactly, you know, completely grasping it. So if someone who has like a conscious issue, if there's something that they don't want anyone to know about them, they're going to hide it. They're going to pretend, I don't want you to see this, okay? But I know that I do these things. Subconscious, right? If someone accused you of doing something, you'd be very defensive immediately. It's like, no, I would never do that. How dare you accuse me of that? And people are defensive because there's a bit of truth to it. Okay, and they don't want to be that person, and so they don't acknowledge it when they're being accused. Unconscious is the third one, and it would be like saying, Aaron, you're green. And you might not have any reaction to that because that's not an issue, right?
I am wearing green,
but you're green. So we would have no issue because it's not conscious. It doesn't make any sense. So those are the three levels. Is that clear?
It's clear. Is that, well, do you want to formulate your question based on that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I was going into the meditative state of the brain and versus like...
It's about brain waves?
Yeah. I have too many questions trying to put it into one.
You messed him up.
Sorry. No. I messed myself up. Do you have experience with meditation?
Yes, I've practiced meditation for years.
Just tell how zen he is. Look at him.
Yeah. Are you Buddhist?
No, I'm not Buddhist. No.
All right.
But I was part of a integral Zen practice for a while.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
I studied with a Roshi for about a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you just like took pieces of that to apply to your practice and sort of disregarded the stuff?
I've collected a lot of things over my life. I've got a bit of an ADD brain myself, so I get hyper-focused on different things.
Right. Okay. And
don't stick with one too long.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not fun.
Because I'm trying to get into psychokinesis and or ESP, like more paranormal things. Like, have you experienced or seen or... anything about
like
abilities.
Manipulating brain waves into abilities like that?
Yeah.
The patient one was the weirdest thing that I've ever experienced, and so nothing like that. No.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever experienced?
That
ghost thing.
That ghost thing was my patient. Oh, okay. That was the one. And before then, I would have been a zero on your scale.
What about I feel like maybe a more accessible way in would be what's it called when your mind travels?
Astral projection.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know about that stuff?
Yeah, I'm gonna really bore your audience.
No, this is like, we love this. This is great.
No, I don't know anything about that.
The idea is that you can leave yourself and astral project, which is to go other places and have perception there.
Well, you know, I'm trained in hypnosis, and in hypnosis, what we do is we put the unconscious mind on the shelf. So we can play with we put the conscious mind on the shelf so we can play with the unconscious mind. And one of the ways one of the tools that is required that a person possesses for it to be effective is the ability to imagine something. Mm-hmm. So if I say, imagine yourself in a forest and the wind is blowing and there's dew dripping off the leaves, and the guy's
cold.
Like, what?
What?
What? What are you talking about? I got no shot with that guy. Okay, so I have to have someone who can imagine ideas.
What about me? I can imagine stuff, but I don't believe in hypnosis. Can I be hypnotized? Or would I just?
So let me explain to you what hypnosis is.
All right.
So. You can tell me if you've ever had this experience before. Have you ever been to a scary movie?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever been to a scary movie?
Sure.
And gotten scared?
Yes.
You've been hypnotized.
Ooh, interesting.
Boom!
The emotion is not something that's not real.
Your unconscious mind is experiencing fear when your conscious mind
knows there is no fear, right. Right.
That's hypnosis.
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way.
So do you have, with hypnosis, do you have things? I'm trying to get towards Manchurian Candidate.
Do you dangle a watch in front of, that's what he wants to ask. Do you dangle a watch in front of the patient?
How many hypnosis watches do you own? How many spirals do you have in your office?
Is there some sort of like keyword or reading in a book that could get someone to drop into being hypnotized?
No. Hypnosis is a voluntary action. Nothing that I can do to someone cannot be done without their permission.
So Manchurian Candidate could not happen. You think?
I never saw the movie. So.
I didn't either. I just know that it's like someone is trained subconsciously to kill the president, and then it just takes like a trigger word, and they're like,
Pfft. Probably not. Well, I know like in Navy SEALs, et cetera, you can be trained in certain ways where you blow past all of your preconceived ideas of what is right and wrong.
Mm.
That can happen.
They're like building psychopaths?
Maybe.
Warriors. Mental.
Can you change from a normal person to a psychopath?
No.
You can't?
No. That's not possible.
Video games do that.
Because psychopath means you don't. Two things. Psychopath is someone who... And that's not a technical term.
Right.
The technical term is antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
Okay. A psychopath is someone who has that and enjoys hurting people.
Right.
Ooh.
It's a combination of those two things. So someone without a conscience and someone who enjoys hurting people.
We talk a lot about, what was the LSD? The military tested LSD.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
My brain's going. It was the
oh my God,
government
I can't think of it.
Funded, tested. They were trying to learn about Manchurian candidates using LSD and putting LSD on people
Delta
without them
Project
knowing.
Project or something?
And so,
something like that.
I know. I can't believe I can't.
Does this ring a bell at all?
MK Ultra. Thank you, Nola, in the chat. It's MK Ultra.
And this is a real thing that they were spending money on and researching.
What were they trying to do?
They were trying to figure out how to control someone's mind with the help of like LSD and psychoactive
stuff. There's a lot of research happening right now on that stuff, and the research is to help people with depression and trauma. So
it's a good thing, right? Mushrooms are fun.
I've heard that mushrooms can be very helpful with people with depression.
Oh, I have a great question for you. Because I've taken mushrooms and not gotten a lot out of them. But I'm also on antidepressants. And they say that it like can block... They can block it or something?
Well, once again, I'm not a medical doctor.
He's not an MD. Sorry.
I wouldn't know about that.
That's all right. I think I'm just immune to mushrooms.
Oh, darn. Darn it, Wade.
Well,
darn.
They're fun, though.
Shucks.
From what I can tell, they're fun. Have you done acid?
I've never done acid.
Have you done any hallucinogens?
Well, so... I was on the good boy track for a lot of years.
Sure, yeah,
right?
Me too, yeah.
And then,
Love that good boy track.
I got older and had friends who weren't on the good boy track.
Right.
And we hung out one night. And I was given a cookie and was told to take a quarter of the cookie. And I didn't listen very well and ate the whole thing. And I landed up in the ER.
What? Willie did that.
Landed up in the ER. Yeah, I was at the Jimi Hendrix Experience at the Gibson Theater about 15 years ago. And I was having this personal little concert right in front of me, and that was it.
So it was just weed, though, right?
Yeah, it was weed.
I feel like
it was a lot of weed.
Ingesting a lot of weed when you're not used to smoking weed or even doing
that
edibles
was the first time.
Is mind melting.
The first time.
Psychedelic. Oh, yeah, my God.
Did you ever do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it didn't scare you?
No.
What did the ER say?
It wasn't a good night.
What did the ER say?
He just had too much pot.
Should have ate half that cookie.
And we had rented a Rolls Royce limousine that night. It was the whole thing.
A fun night.
I was there 15 minutes before I hit the ER.
No.
Did you take the Rolls Royce to the ER? Because it would cost just as much to take the ambulance.
It was the ambulance, so.
Just keep honking until they come out. What's the problem? Got this Rolls Royce out here.
Oh, man.
We had a bunch of questions from Thursday.
From the chat.
Do you remember any of those? You texted them to us.
Yeah. Is bipolar disorder compartmentalized trauma?
No. Bipolar disorder is a physiological condition. It is genetic by most of the research nowadays. It's caused genetically when the mind, it's called a mood disorder. And the old word was manic depressive disorder. Now it's called bipolar. And it's literally people's minds go through these depressed periods, and then it cycles into what they call hypomania. And hypomania is usually very enjoyable, where they have a lot of energy, there's a lot of creativity, not a whole lot of need for sleep, but they're sane. But it doesn't stay there very long, and then it goes to manic. And manic is when you can lose touch with reality.
Mm. And is that something that you can treat with just therapy, or is it just a drug?
No, that's we use therapy to help people deal with the effects of going through that kind of life.
Yeah,
but it's treated with mood stabilizers.
Right.
Depakote, lithium, things of that nature.
Yeah, I have what did you call it? It's not bipolar. What is it?
The mood disorder.
Mood disorder.
Manic depressive.
Manic depressive. I have a friend, and he used to come over and like try to sell us computers and stuff.
What?
And he was like going crazy, and we're just like, "Oh, we're not going to buy your computers."
Manic
man.
State. Yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, they can do a lot of really serious damage to themselves when they're manic.
What's the difference between that and borderline personality disorder, and why do those people bother me so much?
It's very different. And people talk about bipolar, like you're bipolar, and they're usually referring to someone who's really moody, okay? Mm. If you know someone who's bipolar, it's more than moody. They go through severe depressions where they can be, you know, no energy, suicidal, low self-esteem for just days on end, and then something happens and all of a sudden they're off in the other direction. Okay. And this happens back and forth, a lot of instability. Borderline personality disorder is a completely different thing. And we even think there might be a genetic component to that nowadays, but personality disorders are usually caused by Very bad parenting. Okay, and someone who has a borderline personality disorder, you probably had a parent who was extraordinarily critical, abusive, degrading, and basically unavailable for the child. And so the child never got to develop a sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there's this kind of hole in their life, in their body, their whole life, and they are very, very, very loving people at first, and then it gets too much, and they latch on, and they'll do anything to hold on, and they're so afraid of abandonment. Their fundamental issue is, I'm afraid of being left behind. And you become the most important thing in the world, and if you're not there for me, then you're Satan. It's called splitting, back and forth. Back and forth.
Right. And Erin hates them because she has no compassion.
Yeah, that's true. I was born without that.
People don't do well with borderlines.
Yeah.
But people who do love borderlines are narcissists.
Oh.
And narcissists love that these people don't have a sense of self and adore them. They attach to them and they adore them. So there's this narcissist borderline connection that you see happening a lot.
Wow.
I know the definition of narcissism, but like, what is the actual like act of being a narcissist? Like what? How do you display it?
So when we're talking about personality, right? There's they're on a scale, right? So, I can be a little borderline sometimes when I feel I'm not being attended to or no one's caring about me. I get a little needy.
Sure.
That's on the borderline scale.
Mm.
But there's a line where it becomes clinical, okay? And once it's crossed there, it's a whole different ball of wax, okay? Mm. And so there's a lot of talk nowadays about narcissism.
Yeah.
He's a narcissist. She's a narcissist. Yeah. Well, narcissistic personality disorder is a line. And if someone's on that side of the line, there's no going back for these people. They are completely self-absorbed. Everything that they do is for their own personal gain. They need constant adulation and validation. They're highly manipulative to get that. They can never be wrong. They can never lose. And if they do lose, it's because they were victimized. There's a way out of everything.
In that realm, do you think they have developed that so much that they just can't even be aware that
they have no self-awareness? So with the narcissist, and remember we talked about this being bad parents. The narcissist has zero sense of self. They were raised in a home that was extraordinarily critical. There's usually one parent who's extraordinarily overbearing or abusive emotionally, and they have no sense of self. But there's also a huge expectation that this person is supposed to be someone. And so they develop this false self. And this false self they present to the world, and they themselves don't even know that's not them. And any sort of attack on this false self is defended with every ounce of their strength, okay? And if this false self crumbles, they fall apart.
Oh my gosh.
So they are awful people.
Typically.
And then can you solve that?
No.
That they're done. Like they've been ruined.
Narcissists come to me when they're feeling bad about something. And they start
I read something that like narcissists get nothing out of therapy because they're manipulating you the whole time and stuff like that.
They come to me when they've hit rock bottom, something's not going right, and they're feeling horrible. The second they feel better, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're not. There's no interest in repairing.
You don't even have to tell. Like, do you ever tell them, like, I can't help you, you're a narcissist?
I've never had the opportunity.
Do you think that
sucks though, because they're a victim, right? I mean, they're a product of bad upbringing, and now they're just
In many ways, I hope one day that we kind of get to a position where we kind of understand that no one is really responsible for where we got.
Sure.
400 years ago, if there was someone on the floor, you know, shaking with foaming at the mouth. they would burn them at the stake.
Yeah. Devil. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Today, we take their driver's license away because we don't want people with epilepsy driving.
Yeah.
It's not a moral issue.
Right.
And yeah. So the same thing I would like to see in mental health.
Do you think a narcissist teamed up with a borderline personality disorder person is a symbiotic relationship or extra dysfunctional?
Both. They feed off each other, and it's disgusting. It blows up. The highs are high. That's why you see these people like Sid and Nancy, for the Clash. Sex Pistols, yeah. Right. The height of their passion, their love is so high, and then it comes crashing down. The highs are as low as equal to the lows.
Wow.
Do you think that the placebo effect proves that we can heal our own bodies?
Well, the placebo effect is when you feed somebody something, you tell them it's one thing that is supposed to do it, and it does it, but actually there was nothing there, right? I think the power of the unconscious mind to heal is enormous. And that's actually something that has not been explored enough in my opinion. And that the amount of healing that could happen because of that, the potential is huge.
Do you believe in the energy body in that sense? Like they did some experiments in the 70s or the 80s where they like electrified amphibian eggs. And even though the tadpole is in the egg, the electric body signature was that of the full-grown frog. And if you cut off the arm of an amphibian and electrify it under certain lights, you can almost see the outline of the original arm there, which would kind of give evidence to what phantom limb syndrome is and why certain creatures like amphibians and starfish can grow back their arm to that exact shape. Like, do you think that has something to do with stuff like that?
I don't know. I just do know that so in the kind of hypnosis that I do, when someone's had a horrible trauma, what's happening is that they're reliving that experience on a regular basis, and anything similar to it triggers a memory, and that memory feels like they're reliving the actual traumatic event. And so what we do with this is that we kind of get the mind to play a game so it learns that it's not happening anymore. So we kind of trick the brain to think that it's over. And once the mind knows that, the whole thing is gone. And so I'm not so sure it's about energy signatures. Mm-hmm. I just think what the unconscious mind has a belief, and it operates from that position. If you can show the unconscious mind that it's not true, then something can radically shift.
I have a controversial question. You see these people do like weird shit to their bodies where they like put horns on and stuff, or like pull their teeth out and like have spike teeth or whatever. Is that fucked up? That's fucked up, right?
So
that's an opinion.
But is that a mental illness?
I would have. Well, so I have, the way I think about it is it, are they distressed about anything that's going on in their life?
Uh-huh.
If these people are doing these things and it's functional,
right? Then who cares?
Who cares?
Right.
I just don't imagine, and from my experience, that most of these people are having functional lives. I would imagine there's a whole lot of dysfunction.
Like face tattoos. Explain face tattoos.
Someone is needing to show the world something, right?
Right.
And it's probably because something on the inside is not specifically the way.
Yeah.
That's that alternative self that they're presenting.
They want you to know the names of their kids on there as their eyebrows. That's part of who they are.
And it's usually because there's not a sense of something solid
right
on the inside.
Right.
We do have a question in the chat because we didn't put the phone number up, but Squanchy, who is a longtime listener.
What up, Squanch?
Has a question. He also he prefaced it with this an insane question, and he did do mushrooms. So what if dreams are like server lobbies for all entities or dimensional beings? And since humans created time, if you ask what time of day it is during the dream, then they realize you're human, who they want to enter or possess. Like, everything gets foreboding and creepy, and everyone in your dream gets creepy. Like, you shouldn't be asking that. Love you guys.
Is Squanchy on mushrooms right now?
Yes, he is.
I don't get it, man. Every time he asks a question, I have to read it four times.
He's saying, what if you're having a dream, because there's no concept of time in your dream. Mm-hmm. What if you're having a dream and you're in your dream body and you're like, hey, what time is it? And then everyone else in the dream realizes he's talking about time.
And he's talking about that everyone in your dream is actually other entities that are sentient.
Yeah, and now they realize you're talking about time. So now they want to enter your body from the dreamscape.
Yeah, what do you have to say about that?
I think Squanchy should be sharing his stuff with everyone else.
Yeah, send me some mushrooms, because apparently mine aren't working.
I know you mentioned that you had interviewed some people or talked with some people that they were trying to see if they were possible possession cases. Have you, other than those experiences, what do you think about possession? I mean, like, what is your opinion of anybody who resides outside of not being possessed?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Not that I wouldn't, I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense to me that some other entity enters inside of me and controls my bad behavior. I think most of our behavior can be explained by what we've been through or who we are as humans. I think we need to start there first.
I have so much to ask you, and we have 8 minutes left. Are dreams windows to enlightenment?
So your dreams are your unconscious mind unfettered. So your conscious mind goes to sleep, and your unconscious mind is playing. And it's my opinion, or what I understand, is your sleep is a restorative process, right? We want our body, it's there to help our bodies regenerate for the next day. And so if we follow that logic, dreams are just the mind's attempt to solve and put to rest all the loose ends of our day, right?
Like,
and
filing, it's filing
things away. It's exactly. And so without physics, If a problem needs resolution where I have to fly, you know, to get something solved, no problem, because conscious mind is offline.
But you don't, like, you know, there's a million websites and books and stuff about, like, what dreams mean. None of that. Like, if you dream about, like...
Like your teeth falling out?
Yeah.
And it means you're, like, really nervous. You're really anxious.
Is there a universal truth to dreams like that?
Jungian psychology talks about archetypes that are certain kind of beliefs or energies that are universal. They cross all cultures and ethnicity, all races.
Like smiling.
Yeah. The hero's journey, right? In Star Wars, right? That's a whole archetypic system. And so based on that philosophy, there's some ideas that things are universal. So that's where certain things that pop up in dreams are interpreted as certain things based on people who've categorized those.
From your experience, have those things, like when you're, I always have the dream where I'm like looking for a toilet and none of them are great.
They're just all dirty or broken.
They all suck, yeah. Or like there's people watching or something.
Just open it up, there's a bunch of people.
So the way I look at dreams, right, is usually the unconscious mind dealing with a problem in a creative way that you're having in your life.
Lucid dreams?
Do you can't find anywhere to shit.
The conscious mind can be in the dream state?
Conscious mind goes offline, which allows dreams to emerge. And you can be... this is where it gets a little interesting, where your conscious mind kind of relaxes, but it doesn't completely go to sleep. Unconscious mind emerges a little bit, and you can kind of remember what's happening, like daydreaming. That's where that kind of stuff happens. So conscious mind goes offline momentarily, unconscious mind takes over. And all the good stuff's in the unconscious mind.
When it comes to, we're all heroes, journey experts, basically. And I always see that as, like, I think that that is because it's a society evolving together.
Well, Carl Jung would explain that's a human experience, that all humans have that as an innate feature in our DNA.
I think so. I mean, because that's the thing, like, people will say that they're, like, not writers or whatever, but everybody can tell a story, right?
Yeah, that's how we've spread our history, like, from before we can write or draw pictures.
It's an innate, innate thing.
It's how we expressed, survival knowledge and, like, impressed it onto the youth so that they can impress it onto their youth forever until we can start writing the shit down. So it's in us. From the dawn of man.
You know what that brings to mind, though? Is like a baby deer can stand up and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a learned element to like DNA and brain stuff? Like, does a baby have any innate knowledge?
So that's a perfect example. There's a in my field, especially when we're talking about couples. There's a theory of attachment, and we talk about the different kinds of attachment. Are you anxiously attached? Are you avoidant? Or are you adapted? The human isn't finished developing when it's born, okay? So that little deer that pops out, within 20, 30 minutes, it's in the middle of the pack, and it's safe. If your mother doesn't pick you up after you're born, you're toast. Mm. And so there has to be this symbiotic relationship where the mother cares for this child for X amount of time until it can take care of itself.
Mm.
So its development is continuing outside the womb.
Sure.
The head has to get bigger, and this thing's not getting through a female opening.
Right.
Yeah.
Please no. Please don't.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you guys want to, how do we wrap this up? And are you going to stick around and do the bonus episode?
I'd love to.
All right, that'll be great.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I guess closing statement for me about the brain is I think that you're right about some stuff, but you still have a lot to learn. No.
Stick that in your PhD.
I am fascinated with paranormal things, and it's fun to learn about. It's always fun talking to someone that hasn't experienced things that I lean towards believing in, because I think that it's easy to convince yourself things are possible when you don't even see it that much. I'm just saying that my closing statement on the brain is I feel like we're gonna go places.
I would hope so.
Very good insight.
I guess mine is the brain is fascinating. We wouldn't be in the place where we are in the social structure of the universe, of our world, if it wasn't for this thing up here. Whether the consciousness is in our brain or outside of it, who cares? It's all right here, right? We're all experiencing it. We're all thinking, feeling, people. The brain's crazy, and this was a really fun conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here and just putting up with our stupid questions and stuff. It's Thomas Alana. If you're in the LA area, look you up, get some therapy.
Yeah, you got some plugs. How do we find you?
You got a Twitter?
I have no social media. My webpage doesn't even exist.
Yeah, there was 2 pictures of you on the internet, and I'm like, I guess this one works.
There's nothing there. My email address is easy, dralona@gmail.com. Dralona, O-L-O-N-A, @gmail.com.
And if he can't help you, he can recommend someone who can. That's the cool thing about doctors.
Thanks again for being here. We'll continue this conversation. If you go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, you can hear the rest of that. And I just want to say, remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
I'll see you in my dreams.
Oh, it started really late. Yeah!
Real life sci-fi.
Really Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister! Are you from the future?
Yeah. I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me. I'm trying to save you, dumbass.
Grandpa from the future.
Whose grandpa are you?
I'm everybody's grandpa.
Grandpa from the future. This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.